Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 75 of the OASG podcast is still not popular. My name is Helen. I have finished watching Sara's On My for this podcast. Justin, did you finish?
I did finish, just barely.
Because you were tweeting on Twitter like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Before that, we should probably point out, normally we record things on like Sundays and all that good stuff. But that's not even happening. For starters, we're actually a week late.
Oh, right, we are, yeah.
We're a week late because two seasons, and the second reason is a big one, but kind of knew that most of the spring anime stuff would be airing during this time, so it was like, yeah, let's just give it an extra week so we can like, see most of the premieres be out so we can watch it. But the second thing is, like, oh my god, work has been killing me. Ugh.
Yeah, work has been dominating my life as well. It has not been fun.
Ugh. I mean, eventually, when I see the check, it'll be nice, but right now, it's like, ugh. What is a day off? Helen, do you know what a day off is?
It's a day when you do laundry.
You didn't just say that.
I mean, it's true. I did do my laundry last night instead after work, so.
Oh, incredible. Incredible. Well, I kind of like think days off is you finally like get to not worry about work or you get to actually catch up to stuff you want to watch, like me.
Justin, have you ever lived on your own?
Kind of. Well, not really.
Because it does not sound like you have ever lived on your own.
Kind of. I mostly just live really, like on campus for 2 years. That's about it.
Yeah, I have been living on my own post college for like 6 years, and yeah, no. You are imagining something that does not exist.
Stop. But yeah. So I've basically been pretty busy. I've only managed to try to read a couple of my library books. I've also finally read Toilet Bound Hanako-kun. I think of the last time we talked, we were talking about it getting anime. I was mentioning that I bought it because it was like $2.99 on like Comixology or something like that. But I never made the time to actually read it. The only time I found a way to read it was during my way to work and I took the bus. That was the only way I was reading it. So finally took time to read it, and it was actually pretty good. So you think, like, I don't know, like, I think of the title of Toilet Bound, what could this possibly mean? Well, Hanako is a spirit.
I would assume that this is somebody who is, like, Moaning Myrtle stuck to a toilet.
What's up?
I would assume this means somebody like Moaning Myrtle, somebody who is literally confined to a toilet.
He just likes to clean toilets, or keep most of them clean.
Alright, now that's weird.
He's basically a spirit. He's basically bound to it and stuff like that. But it's only in like one of the schools he's at. So basically a short summary, or as short a summary as I possibly can. There's one of the main characters, a girl, who's very... She's trying to get the attention of a boy she likes, but she can't do it on her own. So she tries to like get one of the spirits to help her out. Because it's like a rumor in her school from one of her friends that tells her this stuff. So she files that rumor, and she tries to summon the spirit, and the spirit shows up, Hanako. And the first comment was she thought it was a girl. It was not. And second of all, found out he's not actually as helpful as she thought he was going to be.
How helpful did she think somebody who was attached to a toilet was going to be? Who was good at cleaning toilets?
Thought could grant wishes.
I have many
and stuff.
Questions about this girl now.
She thought she could grant wishes. And
why do you think anything related to a toilet can grant wishes, girl? What are you thinking?
In a way, it kind of does, but not in the way she thought. So it's mixing a lot of humor, but also like spirit, like ghost stuff and all that. Like if you're like really like spirits and stuff like that, I think this is actually pretty good. Like the way it ended for the first volume, I kind of want to find out more about it. If I ever get a chance to check out more of it, I think I I will give it a give it more of a shot.
Yeah, no, I have not read or, well, I've watched stuff like since the new anime season has started, but I haven't read anything. I don't even have any library books out right now. That's how busy my life has been.
Oof. I just have a stack of library books, and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
Like, I have a stack of books to read, but some of them date back to Small Press Expo last September that I bought then. I still haven't had a chance to read.
And none of this is going to count the stuff I'm sending you this week.
Yeah, I have been behind. Woo! I'm reading stuff for reviews. Woo! Just since I know if I read it now, I'm not going to remember it by the time I write about it, so... Adult life sucks.
Adult life is very tough right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have no time and no money.
Yeah, or if you're getting money, the money just comes in weeks, like, not immediately.
Okay, let's talk about something less depressing. Let's talk about anime. Let's see what the first news item is and hope to God it's not actually depressing.
You mean the Cowboy Bebop news?
Okay, yeah, that's not depressing.
I think if it, because it's a live action, I think it might be a little depressing. But if nothing else, the casting for this live action, the Netflix version of Cowboy Bebop, I think that's actually not too bad, at least from what I could tell. Like, people were really hyped about it, Helen.
Yeah, when I saw pictures of the cast, I wasn't totally sold on the guy who's going to do Spike, but I know a lot of people are fond of him. I think that's John Cho. But when I looked at the guy for Jet and the lady for Faye, I looked at the two of them and I went, oh yeah, that definitely looks like the character.
I personally only recognized the character for Jet because he played Bushmaster in Luke Cage Season 2.
Oh yeah, I did see that. It was one of his credits, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the only one I recognized. But I guess, yeah, that if nothing else for this Cowboy Bebop movie, which I think people still are like, why? At least the casting seems
because about. Money.
And that too, yeah. Yeah, that money. Netflix is raising the prices. They better get the best of the best. But, yeah, I have to see how that's going to work out. Honestly. Let's see. What's next? This is more on my space, because I get to go into a spiel about Manga Box. High Rise Invasion is getting a sequel, which is bizarre because it ended this past week. Granted, it was also kind of a non-ending, so I guess that's why it's getting a sequel, but...
I mean, some manga do that, like, QQ Sweeper, like, immediately got a sequel in Queen's Quality, which it desperately needed. I don't know, maybe it's some sort of marketing ploy?
Wait, I'm sorry, what? QQ Sweeper?
Yeah, so the manga QQ Sweeper, it ran for 3 volumes, and then it immediately got a sequel in the form of Queen's Quality. Like, started, like, the very next week.
Oh, yeah, I think you were reviewing it, right? I think.
I've done some of the volumes, yeah, but...
not all of it, but I think you were checking it out.
But I was saying that along the lines of, yeah, some series seem to do this. I wonder if this is a form of, like, marketing?
Well, I don't know about this one, because, like, excuse me. Because this was, High Rise Invasion was confined to, like, the Manga Box app. I'm not sure if it was the case in Japan. It might have been, like, in an actual magazine.
Yeah, that's probably the case in Japan.
It was over for us, for English, it was over in the Manga Box service for English. And it wrapped up online because you can't actually read the app anymore. The app immediately redirects you to the Japanese version that I obviously can't get. So yeah, I had to basically meet the manga on the website, and yeah, it ended. That's it. But now I'm basically waiting for the Seven Seas volumes to catch up. I have no idea where they're actually at this point. I know, like, they've let's see, I think. And it's in omnibus format for Seven Seas. They're releasing omnibus format. So I think like six, up to volume 3 is like volumes 5 and 6 combined. So it's like up to volume 3 or whatever. Something like that. Basically, they're still a ways away, I think. to catching up to even this ending part from the manga box version. And now for me, I have to wait until they catch. I don't even know if they're gonna get the sequel to this though. So that's the problem. So like, is Seven Seas getting all of High Rise Invasion? I have no idea. Too many questions, and I don't. It sucks. It sucks, Helen.
I will have to take your word for it, because this has not been a series I was ever interested in.
Yeah, it's being on Manga Box does not help either. And in news that kind of interested me also, the prototype version of One Piece, Romance Dawn, is going to get adapted into an anime. I think that's going to be like one of the specials for One Piece, and I feel like I read it before a long time ago. I just don't remember if I read the scans or if I actually picked up a version of One Piece that included it. I don't remember. But yeah, going to adapt like original stuff like that. Yeah. I'm with it, I think.
Yeah, I've also never seen One Piece, so this isn't gonna work.
Yeah, I've only
I mean, by this isn't going to work, I mean me talking about this is not going to work.
Yeah, I keep saying we're going to try to get into One Piece, and I never do. Like, I remember I got to I read up to, like, I at least got to 100, 150 chapters a long time ago, and never decided to catch back up. And now I could probably think about doing it now, because I got the Shonen Jump app, but that's way... That's like maybe like 100th, maybe even more than 100th on my list of things to do right now.
All right, so we've got a little bit of a licensing roundup, and this podcast will be out of date by the time we post it, since Seven Seas has said that they're going to have license announcements next week. That is the sound Justin always makes when he hears about licensing announcements. But from Yen Press, they've announced that they are going to have, they're going to be bringing over a variety of light novels and manga, including The Witch's Printing Office, which I'm interested in, since it sounds like it's isekai and someone goes to another world and just starts, like, printing comic scenes, I think. So this character needs to team up with the bookmaking girl and the map-making girl, so...
And the web,
manga publishers in Japan, please give me this crossover.
Who's the other one? The bookworm girl and who?
The map making girl from one of those Cross Infinite novels.
Oh, okay. Don't the map maker. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yen Press is also licensed Overlord, Undead King O, Kimono Friends a la carte, which hopefully is better than the other Kimono Friends manga they put out, because that was crap. A mysterious job called Oda Nobunaga, which is, I don't know, must star the one person in Japan who's never heard of that guy. suppose a kid from the last Dungeon Boonies moved to a starter town, which the premise of this one seems to be like someone from like the last dungeon area of a video game moves to the starter town area of a video game, except it's not a video game, of course. So I guess this is going to be another one of those overpowered character takes on a video game world. The World's Strongest Rear Guard, Labyrinth Country, and Dungeon Seekers. The Greatest Mao is Reborn to Get Friends, and Your Name, The Official Guide.
Yeah, they're going to bring over the visual art book. So if you're really into Your Name, and granted, I think Yen Press has got that like market down, where they have movie to manga conversions, especially for like Shinkai. No, this is...
And that was a really pretty movie. I can definitely see people being interested in The Official Guide if it had a lot of images.
Yeah. Just quick commentary on most of these licenses. Well, for a light novel, I actually don't know much about them, except the fact that they have exceedingly long names, but, well, that's pretty much most light novels. I have to assume Kimono Friends is doing really well for them to license the manga anthology. I don't know, like, I feel like, especially with what's happened with the anime, I don't know like if that's a really good property to touch right now, but I guess it's selling well enough.
I think this is going to focus more on the first season, so you know, you'd still have the fans of the first season.
Okay. And then apparently Overlord is doing really popular because they're just, the Empress is just literally bringing out everything of Overlord. Like, literally, it feels like they announced at their last, like, licensing on Twitter that they were releasing another version of Overlord. Now they're releasing another version of Overlord. So, whatever Overlord is out there, they're bringing it over.
Yeah, that was never one I was interested in, so good on them. All I see from it is I see, like, the really sexy girl getting cosplayed a lot. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I have the... I keep saying... Well, like I said, I say this all the time. Maybe... Well, I think the Overlord manga's light novel is, like, in the 50 to 60 range of stuff I gotta catch up to. So, somewhere around there. I keep saying a lot of things. I should stop doing that. But yeah, I guess that's people are looking forward to that. And yeah, Witcher's Printing House seems interesting. Like, just I saw the cover, it looks really good. Curious to see how Young Press is gonna convert the design and stuff like that.
Oh, I know. This girl in the Witcher's Printing House, Witcher's Printing Office, should also team up with the Heavenly Design team.
Mm.
You know, the characters who have to turn all of God's crazy ideas into animals, you know, like giraffes and stuff like that.
That's the ambitious crossover we all need.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so far, it seems like this might be our shortest episode ever, but now, Justin, we need to talk about the spring anime season.
Yay, spring! Woohoo! I'm just going to start with what I'm planning to watch eventually first. So, I'm going to watch the second season of Ace of the Diamond because I watched the first season. That first season got better. But overall, I was like, I think I'll just stick to watching the anime because I know Kodansha's been publishing the manga, but nothing about the anime has really got me to want to read the manga. But I'm definitely curious to see how the season two is going to go for that. Josie Kause, which I was supposed to watch and didn't, but I'm gonna watch.
As far as I can tell, it's just quiet and horny about thighs.
It's huh?
Quiet, you know. It's Wait, are we talking about the right one, Josie Kause?
Yes, the one where I think it's based off a silent.
Got this in your have watched category.
Yeah, and I didn't watch it, so I'm putting it in my plans to watch right now column.
Yeah, I've just heard that one has a lot of horny shots of thighs, and I don't know if you're a thigh man. I do not expect you to actually answer this.
Well, I also heard it's 3 minutes, and I'm trying to watch most of the shorts, or try to. So, yeah, I'm going to eventually watch Josie Kase and find out if it's as horny as you said it was, and if it focuses exclusively on thighs. Mix, which is a Mitsuru Adachi special. Although I found out that I think it's actually based on a sequel. I guess it's a sequel or it's a loose sequel. I think that's what I heard about this one. So I'm curious to see how, if I can actually get into it and I won't get thrown off by anything aside from how classic the old it looks in certain areas. Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? Which looks about as horny and erotic as you expect the title of that to be like. I also heard this was also a short too. So I'm like,
I don't know, when I hear the name Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher, I think about like accidentally running into one of my teachers at an anime con. That's my first thought, so.
Okay, fair enough.
That would be a fairly funny anime also, but I feel like we have seen that in series before, like people go to Kamakit and accidentally come across like their teachers or their dad, like in anime guitarist.
Right. Isekai Quartet, which is obviously one of my most anticipated anime of the season because it unfortunately brings over crossovers, which I am very weak to right now. And it actually has a couple of series I've actually watched before. So I'm like, yeah, I can't miss this, right? But I think this is on Funimation / Hulu. I'm probably going to watch it via Hulu at the moment. So yeah, I'm definitely going to give that a look. Attack on Titan Season 3 Part 2. Definitely going to check that out. And yeah, those are what I'm definitely planning to watch eventually.
Huh, I thought Isekai Quartet was also in Crunchyroll, but I am not seeing it there.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but
Crunchyroll has titles from both Funimation and Sentai this season, so not everything, but everything for me is really spread out this season.
Yeah, this is where we find out how broke, or I guess not broken, but the separation is kind of getting more official with Funimation owning, having stuff exclusively on their servers and stuff like that. So yeah, I was also shocked that at the moment Crunchyroll does not have Isekai Quartet. I don't know if they're gonna have it on delay or not, but we'll see. I don't know. They probably don't have this time.
Yeah, since like my two carryover shows from the winter, Dororo and Karakuri Circus are still both on Amazon, and between the crossovers, there's a couple things I need to watch on Funimation, like I think Fairy Gone is only on there, and I'm watching the Fruits Basket dub, which is on there, but almost everything else I can see on Crunchyroll. Also, I have no idea why I'm still following Karakuri Circus. This has just turned into, like... It's not a train wreck. It is, like, five trains wrecking together, which I feel like denotes, like, a bigger verb. A bigger noun.
You're basically too far in to leave.
At this point, I'm like, I just kind of want to see how the fuck this shakes up, and I follow one or two people on Twitter who've read scans of the manga. The scan legions of the manga never finished, actually, so no one's quite sure what happens at the end, but someone's been posting, yeah, like, this episode, we took some stuff from volumes 29, and then the majority of the episode came from volumes 35 and 38, and I'm just like, what is happening? I'm like, yeah, here are the covers for these volumes. You can see there are two characters in this volume who haven't even appeared in the anime. They've just been entirely written out. And it's like, what is going on? What is going on?
You're gonna have to let me know when I eventually finish this.
I'm gonna have to form an opinion by that point. At this point, my opinion is Ushio and Tora is by far the better done series.
Sounds like by far.
Yeah, but I like Ghost in the Lady the best out of all of his work, which I'm going to cover at some point on Manga in Your Ears. I just need to find time to rope a friend into it with me.
Good luck.
Oh, no. I've already indicated to a friend, hey, you are coming on this podcast.
Okay.
I just need to find time.
Okay.
But yeah, I've watched everything I was interested in. Or I should say, I've watched everything I was interested in and did not immediately see terrible reviews for it elsewhere online. Because there were a couple other shows I was interested in before the series started, before the season started, like, you know. But then I just started seeing reviews and I was like, oh, this one's based on a hentai game. We're not watching that.
Wait, which one?
You know, the girl who chants love at the boundary of the world, I think. It's either based on a hentai game, or it's based on a game that's not explicitly hentai, but had an OVA in, like, the late 90s that was hentai.
Okay,
so do we want to talk about the shows we've both seen at this point, or...?
I guess the only thing I will mention before we get into this, I'm thinking about checking out the other following shows, Ao-chan Can Study, because I thought that was going to be, like, a longish... like 24-hour thing, but I found out it's actually going to be like half of that, so I'm probably going to give it a shot. It's not
funny note on that. I saw Ao-chan Can't Study and We Never Learn, and I just figured out that those are two different shows.
I don't know how
just figured out that they were two different localizations of the same name.
I have no idea how you even got those mixed up. I really don't.
Because in Japanese, the titles look very similar, and so and the premise is very similar. So I just figured they were, like, the same show, and people were just using different titles. Because, you know, sometimes fans will use, like, one title versus another title, yada yada yada. So I just figured that out.
Okay. Alright, so let's get into the stuff we are actually watching, like, at the same... not at the same time, but we're also watching the same shows. Which is a little surprising, at least so far. We usually kind of watch different things.
And yet we get along anyway.
Somehow, yeah. I don't know how.
So I think the biggest one that we're both watching is Fruits Basket, the revival.
Well, for you.
I'm watching the dub. Are you watching the dub or the sub?
I am currently watching the sub.
Okay. Yeah, the dub was one that I saw it originally in the dub. I've only ever seen a couple episodes of the sub, and I didn't like the voices that well when I saw it subbed. It was just too jarring for me.
Okay.
So of course, since Funimation has reunited the cast, I'm going along with that. But I'm a lot better at recognizing actors' voices than I was God, like 12 years ago when I first saw this. And, so now it's kind of weird. I'm like, oh, Kyo's a real tracer, isn't he? Oh, that's fucking weird.
But also for the Japanese version, isn't this a completely different voice cast, though?
It is, yeah. Oh my god. So I've been hearing a number of bad takes on this new Fruits Basket anime, and one of them I saw was, it's disrespectful how the creator, the mangaka, wanted a completely different staff and cast, and yet they're recasting some of the same people in the dub. Like I said, it was a bad take.
So I think they thought this would also affect the English version? That's
the person who said this clearly did, and it is true that both the staff and the cast in Japanese are completely different, but just, yeah, I am pretty happy with this new take on it. One, it looks a heck of a lot better.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, there was someone on Twitter who was posting some screenshots from the first episodes of both versions side by side, and you could see how the original anime was much less detailed when it came to backgrounds. It was using a lot more simplified art. Heck, it was even like accidentally breaking the 180 rule, which is a quote-unquote rule in visual storytelling about how you move the camera around so you don't confuse the audience about where the action's going and stuff like that. And the difference is so stark that I sent the screenshots to a friend of mine who was at like a small party, and she's like, hang on, we just passed my phone around. We're looking for the link to watch this right now. But I'm pretty happy with it so far. It's following the beats. Another bad take I've seen is that these first few episodes will be kind of boring for old fans of the series. And I'm like, you know, none of this is going to be new to manga readers. Like, yes, the first half of it is probably going to be pretty familiar to people who watch the first anime. But none of this is going to be new if you've read the manga. I'm just happy to see it told following the original story better. Since I did end up liking the manga a lot more than the anime, it just went a lot farther. We just recorded an episode on Manga in Your Ears where we discussed the spoilers for the entire series, and April had never read the entire series before, and she was like, wow, that was a lot. That was a lot. It's like, yes, that is a lot of melodrama by the end. I'm so ready for it. I'm so ready. Also, they gave Kyo toe beans in his cat form in this version, which makes it automatically superior.
Wait, almost. Just like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Toe beans are a very important artistic detail when it comes to drawing cats, so this is very important.
I kind of like how... I just watched the first episode so far. I haven't watched the second yet. But I like when Toru touched them, that the effects of how they turn into their forms. That was kind of interesting.
I've seen a lot of people complaining about how, like, obviously CGI that looks, how they don't like the effect, but I'm fine with it. I didn't think the effects were that good in the first season, the first version, so I'm just fine with it.
It just stands out.
Which there's I guess CGI clouds of colored smoke, guys, and you just roll with
it. I guess it's supposed to do that, but yeah.
Yeah, and one thing I was thinking about on Twitter last night is how, in a lot of the anime aimed at girls these days, they're adaptations of otome games, which means you get to the first episode and both you, the viewer, and the main character are just practically pummeled with like a dozen guys at once who you're supposed to, you know, immediately become attached to at least one of them or be interested in them, yada yada yada. So Fruits Basket feels a little refreshing that it's, you know, only two guys. It takes an entire episode to introduce two guys, basically. And I was thinking this might be the difference between Fruits Basket, which is more of a traditional romance. You're supposed to be rooting more for the characters than some of these otome adaptations, where part of the appeal is that you, the viewer, or you, the player, become much more emotionally invested in being with one of the guys. I think that might be one of the differences, and I do prefer strict romances on that note, because I'm not interested in any of these guys.
Well, no, I wouldn't really... With Fruits Basket, really compared to like otome stuff, like I'm keeping like Fruits Basket in like the shoujo type range though, like most shoujo are like
I'm comparing them on the sense that they are both these two are definitely properties aimed at women.
Okay,
so kind of a broad comparison, yeah. But there's never been a lot of shoujo adapted for anime in any particular season, so I don't have as much to compare it with. I'm not entirely sure there are any other shoujo adaptations this season. There may be some which I'm not aware of. I don't know if Bungo Stray Dogs is shoujo or if it's... God, it might just be one of those Square Enix titles that are for boys but aimed at girls.
Yeah,
but...
one of those, right?
Yeah. Square Enix titles get weird, guys. Their manga magazines are just kind of weird. But yeah, Fruits Basket. I will enjoy having my heart tightly squeezed every Friday for the next couple months.
Will your heart squeeze for Kimetsu no Yaiba, or Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba?
I like that first episode a lot. I haven't had a chance to see the second episode yet because, again, we're recording this episode a little early. But one detail in there I really liked was how they animated some of the sword effects with the water and everything, and I really hope that's something they continue in the series.
Whoa.
Since we know that UFO Table typically has, you know, really nice-looking animation and it's really detailed, and it sounds like they're pretty far ahead on the production of this one as well, so they've given themselves more time. So I'm definitely excited to see this going forward. I liked the first episode a lot, and I like the manga fairly well, although I'm not fond of the other two idiots who join our brother and sister a little later on. I know the entire manga fandom is like, look at my dumb boy, look at my dumb pig head wearing boy, and I'm like, they are too dumb, get them out of here.
I haven't caught up to that part yet, I think. I think I read the first volume of it.
Yeah, they appear in volumes like 3 and 4, so not too long in.
Okay.
They are both just very, very dumb.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take your word for it for now, but I think I saw like a gif of the, well, you see the in the opening, the pig man.
But, mm-hmm, yeah, right. Yep.
Or chasing after the blonde-haired kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. well, two things. One, I guess it's not surprising, but this looks a lot better than the manga. Which, it has a style, obviously, for the manga, but, like...
I don't know. I like how the manga looks quite a bit in terms of the art.
I don't know. I just can't... Like, I feel... At least for now, like, I read the first volume. I don't think the art was one of his strong points. But for this first episode for the anime, it was really good. And I like how,
Do you mean, like, the art style specifically? Well, or, like, the framing, the composition, the lighting? Like, what else?
Well, for now, for the anime, like, just, like, how, like, they mixed, well, how it looks, like, how they don't use, like, 3D that much in the first episode, but they use it, they time it, like, at good points. Just the overall aesthetic of how the characters look. They look more appealing to me, at least for now, in the anime. Like, compared to the manga.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you. I like the character designs in both. Although I do wish Tanjiro had been able to keep his little ponytail instead of having it chopped short, because that's just such a much more distinctive look when compared to other shonen manga protagonists right now.
Right.
The kind of scruffy headed thing is just too generic. Like, everybody's got one of those going right now.
Mm. And then the second thing is, like, I know that I think this happened in manga too, but the only, like, big problem, well, I mean, it's a classic shonen thing, but one of the problems I did have with this episode was the fact that, oh my god, my sister's about to try to bite me and I'm talking so long over this. Oh. This is a totally shonen thing where they just talk a lot, but other than that part, I was really into it. Like, from how the music, like, the timing of the music in the episode was good, like, the engagement was really good, like, how he finds out how his family was just brutally murdered, all of it was engaging and stuff. That was definitely looking forward to watching more of this.
And the OP is pretty baller. But on the whole characters talking a lot thing, I was reminded of how both Kimetsu no Yaiba and The Promised Neverland are two of the newer hits from Shonen Jump, since they both run the same magazine. And The Promised Neverland just completely cut out all of the monologues for the anime, just as the way they were going to tell the story. And yet Kimetsu no Yaiba is definitely keeping all the monologues in. Which I do think are necessary. I do think they would have had a harder time cutting some of these out. Like when Tanjiro runs into a member of the Demon Slayer Corps, and you get a totally different impression of the guy from his monologues, his internal monologues. But yeah, He was talking a lot. He has some good arm strength to just keep talking while holding off his sister from biting his face off.
Yeah, like, I understand. Like, it's hard to try to condense all that because you're trying to make sure you get the intent across. But I can see, like, it annoying some people for sure. But all the other stuff is really good. So, I mean, it's just a small, for me at least, it's a minor thing.
And now to talk about the elephant in the room.
Whoa. That's the thing we saved kind of last. What about the Senryu girl?
No, I'm talking about the elephant in the room because I'm saving for last the crappy ones I dropped.
Ugh, great. All right. Oh, you dropped that. Oh, I didn't even look at it. Wait.
Yeah, I dropped a couple shows.
Wait, it doesn't look... Oh, well... Wow, you dropped...
Justin, they are numbers 2 and 3 in the list of shows I said I watched.
Yeah, but... All right, fine. Let's talk about it. The elephant in the room. Fine.
Yeah, Sarazanmai, which is the newest Ikuhara show. It's airing on the Noitamina block, which means it's only going to be 11 episodes long, and Ikuhara has clearly gone, fine, I need to cram all of my insanity into just 11 episodes. And that first episode was a trip. That is also the most not-safe-for-work thing I have seen in a long while.
Yes.
And so it airs at like 3:55 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. And my Thursday schedule is that I work until 4, and then I have class at 6 until 9 p.m. And so you know Twitter is going to be fucking insane of spoilers as soon as this thing comes out. So I'm watching this in like a pretty study corral at the library, and I'm just like, I am so glad nobody can be behind me right now and see what's going on. This is so not safe for work. We are having people getting eaten and then popping out of anuses, like, covered in fluid. And we're having people getting this mythical organ of their desires getting pulled out their butts with very artistic sequences. And, oh my god, this is not safe for work.
Look, I think you just found out
that... We all knew this was going to be about butts. It is still, however, a lot of butts.
No. I think we all found out that, hey, kappas are... They're definitely not safe for anybody for work.
I mean, there are many instances of kappa in, you know, other anime and manga where they are more safe for work.
They were lying.
And some where they're not safe for work. But this is a new tier of not safe for work.
They were not telling the truth about the true nature of kappas. Do we actually understand what's going on so far?
Sure. So we've got 3 boys. And they get mixed up in an instant with a kappa in their city who turns them all into kappas as retribution. And so he's sending them off on... There's some other forces at work. I've seen people theorize it's probably capitalism, which is, like, stealing people's desires. So they're trying to, like, right this balance. And in the process, you see other people's desires and their own desires. And in this case, desire is... You know, both something you want, but something you also keep very secret and close to your chest, as literally symbolized by tons of people walking around carrying boxes.
I actually been trying to figure out the box thing. Ash was like, why do you have to carry the box with you everywhere? Even the school, man. Why are you bringing that box with you?
It's symbolism for your desires are something you always keep with you. Like with the reveal at the end of the first episode that one of the characters has been cross-dressing so that he can send a girl he's close to selfies every day dressed up as this local popular idol.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's doing it pretending he is the idol to cheer this other girl up. That's my theory right now. But yeah, this idea that he keeps it very close to him and doesn't tell anybody about it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the shows where you watch it and you go, what the fuck? And then you read some people online who are saying all these intelligent things on it. You're like, oh, this makes so much sense now. Yeah, of course. And then you watch the next episode and you go, nope.
Yeah.
Still lost.
Yeah, I'm curious.
That is typically my experience with Ikuhara. And I like that. I really enjoy having these shows where there's just so much reading and discussion going on. I really like those types of shows. And he's one of the few people who makes them.
And I also add that he's probably one of the few people who can make it entertaining. Because I feel like there are probably shows like that want to foster discussion, but there are just so many either boring or confusing things that don't make it all that fun or entertaining to me, at least. But when I watch an episode from like this, like there's so much happening, and it's really like things are moving and going in motion. Like you have the dancing sequence and all that stuff. That's stuff is happening. So, like, I can really get into it and then theorize later, or theorize if I watch it the second time. I don't know how Ikuhara does it, but he finds a way.
Yeah, all of his works are surreal. Now, seeing someone on Twitter saying that we really seem to downplay how much things like Utena are surreal, even though it is a well-known fact that one of the people turns into a car, and another character turns into a cow, so, like... But yeah, Sarazan Mai has definitely had, like, the least accessible entrance, I think, intro episode than any of his stuff.
Really?
Which is saying something. That's just my personal feeling. I feel kind of bad for anyone who's trying to start his work with this, since I can see people being really turned off really easily. I hope not, but if I was to just see this without any context, I would be like, well, this director has a real fucking weird fetish. No thank you. But now I'm like, to quote someone on Twitter, we're all going to be crying over a fart joke in 6 weeks, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was actually kind of... I was like, why are they farting? Why? Why? I mean, he hasn't directed that many shows, so what would you say like would be like the show people can really jump into for him?
I don't know, since I ended up watching his stuff chronologically, since when I first started watching his stuff, Utena was the only one out, and it was like a year later that Penguin Drum came out, so I've actually watched all of his stuff chronologically, except Sailor Moon, since I've never been that interested in the Sailor Moon anime, except for when I was like 5, but I have no memory of this. So, yeah, I feel like either Utena or Yuri Kumarashi might be more accessible in the first episode. Although Yuri Kumarashi also has a not-safe-for-work first episode, come to think of it.
Yeah.
So many licking of lilies. You know what that means.
I think my only thing I would say is that because I think if you just, like, if you watch any of his works from the first episode, you'll either like it or you won't. I think that's where I'm going to go with that, for me at least. Because he just hasn't done that much. And I feel like most of his episodes, first episodes especially, are pretty wild. So you're either going to like that or you're not going to like it. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to more.
Yeah, and of course, I've been seeing a lot of folks on my Twitter feed talking about it and making jokes. And I think the best joke I've seen was somebody took a screenshot from the Nozaki-kun anime where they're like, lately, boxes have become really popular amongst us.
So that's going to be the next trend, boxes. We've been in this isekai kick. Now we're going to move on to box kick. Great. Just thanks, Ikuhara. Thanks a lot.
But yeah, and then the last show that both of us have watched is the short Senryu Girl, which I saw the second episode of today before we recorded because I was a little caught. Worried since it's called Nanako's Diet, and I was like, oh, that doesn't sound like it's gonna be good. But the episode is fine, so yeah, this is a fun half-length episode about a girl who only talks in, I think it's tanka poetry style. It's silly comedy. It's fine.
Well, they just call it Senryu all the time, so.
Okay. Might be wrong on the poetry style. I thought it was tanka, but.
Well, I think it was like 575.
That's haiku, though.
Well, that's what they were saying. I guess Senryu might have some differences, little differences from haiku, but
haiku. Yeah, not the volleyball anime. Yeah. That's not coming back till fall, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, you're really in for the adorable faces and how the characters interact with the girl who can't seem to speak in any other way except via Senryu. So, yeah, it actually was not too bad. It was actually pretty enjoyable. And I do like that it's not that long either. So that's very nice. So at this point, I think that's about it for the shows we've watched. Why can't I figure out how to say this? Alright, whatever. The other show that I ended up watching that you didn't watch was We Never Learn.
The other can't study show.
The other can't study show that you somehow managed to mix up. But Yeah, I've been reading the manga and Shonen Jump, so really poor kid who's not, he had to basically work himself to be really smart, ends up having to tutor two geniuses, but only in a specific subject. So one of the subjects they're really, the two geniuses are really good at, they're just like at a, they're in a stratosphere, but when it comes to studying the subjects they want to eventually learn, they are awful, truly bad. And now the main character has to tutor them, and if he tutors them, he gets a special VIP recommendation, which will help his parents out, his family out, all that stuff. But it's a challenge, and he's gonna get a third girl joining in too. And from that point, it's obviously like a standard rom-com, all that harem stuff. So if you're not in the harem, I don't think this is gonna reinvent the wheel. But for now, at least the anime looks fine. It's not too bad, so I will probably be sticking with that for the rest of the for the season.
Yeah, I've watched a few more shows. Of the ones that I think I'm gonna stick with, one of them is Fairy Gone, which is the latest PA Work show. And it was funny, when I was watching this, I was struck by the fact of how similar it was to Sirius the Jaeger in some ways. You have two, like, late teens characters who were very close when they were younger, and now they've been separated, and they seem to be on opposite sides of a fight involving the supernatural and a historically inspired setting. The difference is just this time, instead of werewolves, it's fairies, and instead of being brothers, they are two friends who are girls. I do want to commend the show for having both the main female characters wear pants in the first episode, which may seem like a minor detail, but as somebody who's done a lot of cosplay, not many characters in anime wear pants if they're women. Just not many. So, the first episode was a lot of flash and introducing a lot of aspects at once. I don't feel like I got a good feeling for most of the characters, so I'm going to give it another episode, but I'm excited to give it another episode. Midnight Occult Civil Servants, I felt like gave me a good sense of what it's going to be. It is about people who work in one of the wards of Tokyo, and their job is that they keep the peace between humans and supernatural entities at night. With the odd twist that everyone who works there can see these, you know, occultic creatures, but only one guy can hear them, the new guy. And so this leads to a conflict at the end of the episode where he's like, wait, what? Why can't you guys hear what they're saying? Oh my god, what's going on? So that's kind of a dumb twist. The fact that he's probably reincarnation of Abe no Senmei is also a dumb twist. Like, you don't have to be the reincarnation of somebody famous to be cool, guys. You could just cool this in anime manga, I swear. You don't have to do this to give your character, like, defining characteristics. But it seems up my alley, like, good popcorn watching. I probably won't really remember it once the season is done, but, you know, just filling the time. Watching something during my lunch breaks now. And then I'm really on the fence about Kono Oto Tomari, Sounds of Life, which is the show about a Koto club in a high school that's really struggling. Most of the members graduated the previous years. There's only the president left. But the show is so fucking melodramatic. Like, the series opens up with, oh no, this grandson, he destroyed his grandfather's Koto store / workshop. I wonder what led him to do this. And you find out later in the episode that he was framed by other people. But even despite this, the shock was too much for his grandfather, who died shortly afterwards. And yada yada yada. And it's like, alright, we need to calm down a little bit, folks. We need to calm down. And there's lots of misunderstandings between this supposed delinquent and the president of the Koto Club, and there's going to be some other girl who joins them, and based on the opening, she also has, like, an equally melodramatic backstory involving the Koto.
Yay, melodrama! So
this is one where I'm hoping I can find some people reviewing episode 2 first before I make the call if I want to watch more of it, because it was just like, maybe I'm interested, but I do not have this tolerance for melodrama. I just don't. And then I also dropped two shows if we want to keep going. Yes. So after Lost, okay, Justin, you've seen Steins Gate, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh. Okay, yeah, so you know how Okabe Rintaro is acting, very choony, like he's a star of like some high stakes drama anime basically during it. He's always making like those secret phone calls and everything. After Lost is a story he totally fucking thought he was in. It's like everyone in this area of Tokyo vanished 3 years ago except this one girl, and now there's like ghosts after her and government agencies, And it is just like the most choony shit I have ever seen, and I mean this in a bad way. Like, it is just. A, some parts of it don't look good. Some parts of it really just do not look good. Like, these extended, like, motorcycle chase scenes, and it's like, guys, this is gonna look bad from the start. Why did you choose to do this? And just. It's a lot of nonsense. Character motivations aren't quite working, character interactions aren't quite working. I'm honest to God wondering if this or Steins Gate inspired each other because I was just reminded so much of the other.
Could have
But
swore.
yeah, no, this one is a drop.
I thought I saw After Lust was like an original. I don't think it was based off of.
Oh, I thought it was based off of a visual novel, but I could be totally wrong.
Thought I saw it was. Oh well.
Yeah, no, so I dropped this. I kind of wanted to drop it in the middle of the episode, but I was like, let's just keep going to the end of the episode so you can tell people all the ways it was ridiculous. And the answer was many ways. And the other one I dropped was Robohachi, Robohachi, which is, I've seen some people compare it to like Space Dandy in that it's the future, things are kind of wacky, yada yada yada. But I saw someone else, I saw Jacob Chapman describe it as this is a poor man's double decker, and double decker was already a poor man's Tiger and Bunny. Which is the best description of it. You've got some guy who just goes for the most harebrained schemes ever. He's losing all his money, he meets up with some other guy. Other guy turns out to be working for the loan shark who first guy's been borrowing money from. Second guy is like, I think life is boring, but you have an interesting life. Strange things keep happening to you, so I'm gonna go with you, and we're gonna go travel the universe. And it's funny because their destination right now is the planet Iskandar, Iskander, which is like a major planet in space battleship Yamato. So every time they keep mentioning this, I'm like, I'm reminded that I need to get back to that show, and that show would be intensely more entertaining and satisfying than this one is right now. I just haven't had a chance since Yamato came off of Crunchyroll, and it's only been on Funimation, and I've only gotten a Funimation sub quite recently. But yeah, so that is definitely a poor man's double decker, which was okay at times, but was definitely a poor man's Tiger and Bunny. So yeah, you can just pass on both of those, Justin. I see that neither of those are on your list to watch, and that's good.
I
Don't
think
waste your time.
I looked at, or I tried to like at least have a bit of a list of what shows I might want to watch, and I think I read the plot for that, and I think I saw a review of, no, maybe I didn't see a review of that, maybe it was something else, but it didn't look that appealing to me, so.
Yeah, I saw a review of Asperger Lost and it sounded okay. And then after I watched it, then more reviews had gone up, which were all like, this is trash, this is garbage, this is a stinker.
I don't think I've seen any reviews yet of the Wise Man's Grandchild, but
There are some up on ANN right now, but it sounds like it's.
how
I
is
think
it?
someone said, you need to understand why this kid has decided to never leave, like, the few square miles he was raised in, or ask any of the adults who they, what their jobs were, because he doesn't realize he's been trained by heroes, like, all the time.
Wait, is it kind of like what's his face? Some samurai
It is a
from
combination reincarnation isekai and magic school
no, the way you
anime.
made it sound like made me think of the I can't re remember his name from Samurai Flamenco. If you say his place is like a hero.
No, the plot for Wise Man's Grandchild, mage, insert protagonist thingy, is that this kid is reincarnated and he's being raised by somebody who it turns out was like the greatest hero the world has ever seen.
Oh, okay, you
And
mean
so he's
like
being
that.
trained by him and this guy's old buddies who turn out to be also very great heroes and even kings in their own respects. The other kid doesn't notice this, so by the time he's 15, he's already surpassed all of them, and he's like, I'm just gonna go to magic school.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's kind of an idiot, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He sounds supremely oblivious, if
Yeah,
nothing
I think
else.
so. Yeah, something like that. All right. Yeah, I think that's why I added it to my list. But It was very first.
Like, what, that was a selling point?
I've added, if you haven't noticed, my list has a bunch of shallow stuff added to it. So what do you expect from me, Helen?
I expect you to actually read your library books, Justin.
And that too. I really should. But yeah, that and Fairy Gone is also on my list of shows that I want to at least check out for the spring season. Definitely going to give the PA Works anime a shot for sure.
Actually, After Lost is even from Studio Madhouse, and Studio Madhouse has been in the anime news recently since they were making people work like 200 hours of overtime a month, and someone had to be hospitalized suing for their overtime hours.
Wait, what?
And it's like, for the love of God, I hope they were not working on this show. This show is definitely not worth like any overtime.
Okay, so just to let everybody know, I've basically been working for a while, so I probably didn't catch any of that news from Madhouse. Not at all. Yikes, that doesn't sound very good to me. Eek.
Nope. Okay, with that, Justin, why don't you take us out on the weird news?
Well, you kind of said, we kind of talk about Madhouse and tweeting, like, having crazy working hours and stuff like that. I guess this kind of segues into everything that's happened with March and Madchen, which is, that is a story. This has had a long story where it aired, had so many animation issues that they actually had to stop at some point. The studio had to stop working on it because it was not great. I think it was an article about the behind the scenes issues, all that stuff.
Yeah, Sakugaburo blog did one.
It was very bad. So they had to eventually work on the last couple episodes because they only released 10 episodes. But even then, I think 11 and 12 was released like earlier in this year, but that got delayed to this month where it's going to come out, Helen. The last two episodes are going to come out, 11 and 12. They're going to air April 25th. And as a bonus, on April 28th, this is all in Japan, by the way. There is no word on if this is going to get updated for Crunchyroll or whatever.
They probably will.
I
imagine it was under contract. We will stream these 12 episodes.
No. Well, I'll touch on that a little bit. They're going to stream all 12 episodes with the improved animation on the ATX channel. I'm actually not sure if ATX has its own service or they're actually going to stream all 12 episodes on TV in Japan on April 28th. But they're going to stream them or show them in some capacity. So my guess is that Crunchyroll will show the last two episodes, but whether they will actually have the improved animation, because I think the...
Yeah, they almost never re-upload stuff
like
that.
Yes, I'm saying. So like, if it's the last two episodes, then they probably will have that. I'll be surprised if they won't be able to stream those. But if they upload the better quality versions, they'll have to let us know personally.
But yeah, so for folks who don't remember this show, which would be understandable since it wasn't very popular, at least in the English-speaking sphere, this was a show that originally aired in the winter 2018 season. So it has taken them over a year to produce these last two episodes.
Yeah, that's... Just letting you know, that's not good.
Yeah, like, occasionally you see weird stuff happen. Like, I remember the last episode of Blood Blockade Battlefront, the first season, was aired like 4 or 5 months later. I remember there was problems there, but at least that was one episode, one double-length episode, and it wasn't an entire flipping year later.
And then I think, I think Girls in Panzer had a situation where they streamed the first, or worked on the first 11 episodes, but then they had to delay the last episode I think they had to change some stuff for some reason. I forgot the reasons why, but I know, like, I think that would have to get delayed. But
so there you have it, folks.
Yeah, it's not...
These are the few things that Justin and I have been able to glean from the anime sphere in the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
We're just real busy now.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
We should probably be glad we don't have a third host whose schedule we also have to work into.
Yeah. And then actually, in this case, I think we're very fortunate that there wasn't too much crazy news that happened over this past couple of weeks. Because, like, I'm looking at the list, and I'm like, okay, do I want to talk about that? I want to talk about that. Is that weird enough? And not too much. Oh, well, I guess the one thing before we end the podcast, I totally slipped my mind because I saw this late at night when I was heading home from work. Apparently, the latest Detective Conan film is potentially going to get like shown overseas. They're trying to work on it. Who that okay. person is, I have no idea, but who they are. But I think YTK got the link and tweeted it out, and I'm very curious to see how that's going to work out and whether or not I want to spend money to watch the film if it does come out.
Well, I'm afraid if we keep going, this will definitely not be our shortest episode ever, so let's wrap it up here. Yep. Folks, you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts these days,
yes,
I think.
Yes, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, Google Play. I think that's everywhere we're uploading these days. Google, you can also find us on Twitter at TheOASG. You can find me at Wandering Dreamer. You can find Justin at Kami_Nomi. Yada, yada, yada. Manga in Your Ears will be back at some point. We finally got a new website.
Yay.
So now Corey just has to edit like 9 podcasts, including the Taiku Podcast grand end of year, like 3.5, 4-hour marathon recording.
Oh, nuts.
That is a lot.
That's just insane.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane.
Well, part of it is because certain people were 30 minutes later to the recording, so.
Okay, just so everybody knows, it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can add us to your feed leads or whatever through RSS, subscribe through email, all that stuff for the OFG podcast. Feel free to like the post, review, comment, rate us, all that stuff. You go do all that. You don't
at
have
some point. I'll get back to doing reviews, but job hunting and grad school.
I will also at some point get back to doing reviews eventually, real soon. But until then, catch us later. I think.
Bye.